Do you believe that you can be successful in selling your photography without a studio? A lot of people believe that you need to have a brick and mortar studio to be successful with your photography business. And my next guest today is here to tell you that that just isn't so. Miranda Hayek is a wonderful portrait photographer based in Long Beach, California. And she has done product-based selling, or IPS, in a variety of ways. From having a studio to not having a studio to going back to having a studio. She goes in people's homes, she meets them in their place of business, and any scenario that you can think of. And she's very successful in what she does. And I love this conversation today because she lets you know you don't have to do it any one certain way. You can be flexible in your selling methods and you can be successful as long as you keep it simple. This is something that if you think you need to have that brick and mortar studio, you do not want to miss this episode of the Focal Points podcast. You are listening to Focal Points, a podcast by Enphoto hosted by Dori Howell. You are in the right place to learn how to build a dynamic and sustainable photography business that you love. All right, welcome to the Focal Points podcast brought to you courtesy of our fabulous, fabulous sponsors, Enphoto. And I am super excited today because I have my very good friend Miranda joining me. She is a photographer in Long Beach and she is the owner of Blossom Blue Studios. And I met Miranda, oh gosh, a few years ago. It's been a while. I don't even remember. And it's just, you know how you meet people online and you just automatically connect to them. And I'm so lucky to have Miranda as a friend of mine and also to have her as a guest today on the podcast. So Miranda, welcome.
Thank you so much.
I asked Miranda to come join me for this episode today because there are a lot of ideas, misconceptions, and things that go about with people running product-based studios or running IPS studios. And how can they possibly do IPS if they don't have a physical studio? And Miranda has been doing IPS without a studio for a while. She's had a studio before, gone back and forth, kind of like me. And she had some really great ideas as far as this particular topic. So I wanted her to come and share those with us today. But before we get into that, Miranda, I was hoping you could just share real briefly a little bit about your background, what you shoot, what you got you into photography, what you love about it, anything that you would like to share about yourself and your journey.
Of course. Thank you so much. I'm honored and I'm excited to share whatever I can to hopefully help someone that is either considering going into in-person sales or maybe has been doing it and isn't quite sure how to take it to the next level. So I happened across photography because I worked in nonprofits and serving people with limited mobility, MS particularly. And what we discovered was that if we attached a photograph to our grant proposals, we got money. We got money for programming. So I kind of was just thrusted into editorial work. That was 15 years ago. And over the course of my career, you know, I actually started most of my full-time work during the recession. And I know a lot of people right now with pandemic are starting photography businesses. And so I am excited and I am, you know, cheering you on because during times of major change, there's big shifts in the industry. And so in-person sales is something that I came about probably at my fifth year. I have a background in marketing. So that's my degrees in marketing and organization, things like that. And so, you know, development. And I found that if you can shape the model of your in-person sales, it will change your business. If you're not doing in-person sales, you're leaving money on the table. And it doesn't have to be as scary as you might think. And I just wish I would have started sooner.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Well, I love, first of all, the thing that you mentioned earlier about attaching pictures to your grant proposals. And how that made such an impact. The power of a picture is a beautiful thing. And I think, honestly, sometimes those of us who are in this industry forget that. And I know that I do in the government contracting arena. It's now becoming normal for when people are proposing and working on grants and that type of thing to attach pictures of the people who are going to be working on the proposal and the places where they're going to be working, because that helps tell their story. And what a beautiful thing that you were able to do for those people who were benefiting from your work. So you discovered that IPS was the way to go for your business and realizing that you were leaving money on the table if you weren't offering products. And What brought you to that revelation? What was the thing that was like, oh, I really need to change this up and do better?
Well, like, I'm sure any one of you that does photography has heard over and over again that people say, you know, photos are the most important. And it's always been interesting to me, and it's somewhat biblical in some ways. It's like, put your money where your mouth is, put your treasure where your heart is, right? And so we all say how important photography is, but we're literally living in a time where the most photographed generation in history, we could cease to exist because we're not printing. And so everybody wants a printed picture, but we don't take it to the finish line. And so we somehow have been told that if we sell things, it's like this, you know, pushy sales, dirty, gross thing that nobody wants to talk about. And yet, if you think about your childhood pictures or the things that have been a legacy for your family historically have been the print, even if it's just one 8x10. So I call the 8x10 the gateway drug to art. Everybody, if you look at history, it's the 8x10, right? Grandma's wedding photograph is an 8x10. And so when I discovered that if I handed somebody a photograph and that that's the first time they saw an image, it completely transformed the experience. I said, I got to figure this out. And so shyly, I entered into the in-person sales with 5x7s and 4x6s, which was a big mistake because the markup for a 4x6 and a 5x7 isn't there. So it wasn't until I started presenting even just 3 8x10s to my clients that everything changed. It was like the tears, the experience. And what I realized is that when you shift your mindset around from sales to service, that you're not selling, you're serving, you're taking them to the finish line. You're going from the capture all the way to the holding and cherishing, which, you know, I hear that all the time from photographers. They're like, treasured memories, legacy, blah, blah, blah. And then, yeah, right, because it's going to have 15 minutes of Facebook fame, and then it's never going to ever go anywhere past that. So when I discovered that, it was just like, it clicked for me, was that, you know, it doesn't have to be a big, you know, enlargement. It doesn't have to be a ton of them. The power of one printed 8x10 is phenomenal. And so I did that.
Okay. I have questions.
Okay.
I'm dying to ask you questions. I have questions. So you say, you know, 3 8x10. So that leads me to just some basic workflow questions, because a lot of times, like, I show my pictures for family portrait sessions, I show them digitally on a slideshow and that type of thing. I don't print for my reveal sessions. Based on what you've said, I think you have a little bit of a different process, and I would love to hear how you do that.
Absolutely. So I'm gonna back up a little bit, because I think a lot of times people think they have to have fancy studios, a lot of product, they have to show big, they have to have all these samples and albums and et cetera and so forth. And I want to tell you, I started out without a studio. And then I had a studio, and then I didn't have a studio, and then I had a studio. And really, it's so funny because, you know, that statement of keep it simple, you know, if you could just keep it really, really simple. And so what I do, I use a hybrid of digital presentation, as like you, and then also physical. And so what I do is I use a online, you know, gallery service, and I then pick, you know, once I edit my photos and I do all that, and I'm happy to go more into my process, but I basically pick 3 of my favorite photos, the ones that I think absolutely would be a crime not to have printed, 3 of my favorite photos. And I print those, I print 3, and I map them. And I'm happy to share, like, you know, how I do that so that it's cost effective at another time, or if people want to email me, I'm happy to share that. But I print 3, I mat them, and then I put them in a really beautiful folio, and then the rest go on that online gallery. So when I show up to a client's home, or when they've come into my studio, and when I'm in my studio, I reveal everything on my big iMac because of the color. I want it to be as true as possible. I don't do screens and projectors and all that, which is another thing you don't need to lug or have or take with you. Like, I literally, when I go to someone's home and do their reveal approximately about 2 weeks after their session, is I have an iPad. And then on that iPad, I have the gallery, just, you know, the digital gallery. And I also have 3 printed 8x10s. And so the first thing they see is those 3 8x10s. And they never, ever, ever, once you put it in their hand, they never, you're going to have to fight them and wrestle them to get those.
They hold it the whole time, don't they? Yeah. They don't want to give it up. They don't want to set it down.
Nope, they're never going to give those up. And so I've kept my service menu very simple. So I always recommend that people find their favorite lab and photo, you know, their favorite lab, and they go on their Enfoto catalog and their, you know, service, and you pick your favorite items, like what you think you must, every client should have, and you keep it super simple. So if it's an album, you pick three sizes and you keep it super simple. If it's prints, I always start at 8x10. I don't offer 4x6s or 5x7s. And so I keep it very super simple and I price them a la carte. So they can buy one 8x10. Or they can buy bundles that have more of them. And so what happens is, you know, it's just a basic, do you like to hold your keepsakes or do you like to see them on a wall? You know, and they choose. And then, okay, if you want to hold them, this is what you have options for. If you want to see them on the wall, these are your options. And I'm telling you, they never want to let go of them. And they always end up in a collection. And it's just a matter of picking A or B, A or B, A or B. And it's super, super, super easy. Right. The easier you make it, the more likely you are to make the sale.
I love that so much. And that's what I've been saying for years. It's like, this needs to be simple. It can't be overwhelming for you as the photographer, because if you're overwhelmed, you're going to overwhelm your client. And it doesn't need to be that way. You don't have to offer everything for sale that your lab offers. And you don't have to offer every size in something that the that your lab offers. I keep my albums very simple. They get it. They can have 10 by 10s or 12 by 12s. Just square. I don't get into all the other sizes. My colors are very simple. My fonts are very simple. Prints are very easy. Now I do offer 5x7s, but now that I say you're only offering 8x10s, maybe I don't want to do that anymore because it's always an evolving process, right? So the question about the matted images I have is that those are not included in their session. You're bringing theirs, and then at the appointment, they have an option to purchase those or not, and then they can purchase them as part of a collection. From what I understand,
correct.
From what you said, is that true?
Yes. So okay. I have three collections and recently four because I have clients that have returned over the course of 10 years now. And that's because I shoot hybrid. I shoot film as in movies and stills. So I offer family stories as far as, you know, in that as well. And so it's a little different now for me. But I was, when I set up, because I do business coaching for photographers and creatives, I do three collections. I recommend three collections. And they're really simple. My collection one has five of those printed 8x10s, matted 8x10s. The second collection has 10, and the third one has 15. Simple. 5, 10, 15. That's it. And then.
And these are all printed. Do you offer digitals at all?
Oh, yeah. Anything that you purchase 8x10 and larger, it comes with its corresponding digital file. And then collection three. Has all the digitals in it. So if someone's looking for all the digitals, which I keep small, like my collections have, or my galleries don't have more than like 35 images. I keep it really, really small.
Yeah.
Again, simple. And so it's 10, 5, 10, and 15. And so they can either go into a collection, which also has some other goodies in each of the collections, or you can go a la carte. And either you're going to buy a bundle of those, which makes no sense a la carte. You'll go into a collection if you're doing that. Or you can buy an enlargement, you know, a 24 by 36 or whatever you want to buy. And so it's a matter of, you know, just this is what I love. This is what I like. Boom, boom, boom. And so it doesn't become this big complicated, well, I got to measure the wall and what does that size look like and how many of those will fit on that wall? And I got to think about it and I got to talk to my, you know, significant other or whatever. Like it doesn't become a complicated thing. The decision is basically an emotional, I love these. I want them. I don't want you to leave and take them away. And I want more of them. And so it's very simple to pick.
Right. Now, that comment that you make about measuring the walls and doing all that, I understand the value of doing that, but it just depends on how people want to run their business.
Sure.
And for people who either don't, I am a true believer in the keeping things very, very simple. Like I have basically, if they want all the digitals or they have one option, you get everything and you get an album. That's your option. The price point makes me happy. They're good. They get everything. I don't, the thing with product-based selling that I hated so much. And it always just, it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way was like the eye doctor approach of, do you like A or B, A or C, B or D, like making them pick things out one way or the other. I don't like doing that because especially with young parents, when I was doing a lot of newborn photography, like I saw the angst in them. They wanted everything. So I had to come up with a way that they could just get everything. And it sounds like you've done that too in your third collection. It's just like, you want everything? Here you go. And believe it or not, that's how I start my IPS appointments. It's like, okay, we have different options, but if you just want to get everything, here's how much it costs. Here's what you get with it. And that's after we've seen a slideshow and gone through some of the images. And I can see that they're starting to become a little bit pained in making these cuts. And I'm like, hey, we just want to get everything. This is what the offer is. And most of my clients take it, and it makes me happy at the price point. But keeping things simple, it doesn't have to be overwhelming. I don't know how many times I can say that and truly, truly let photographers know it is your business. You can run it any way you want, and it does not have to be complicated for anyone. It just doesn't have to be. So going back to the idea of doing this without a studio, you said that you show up in your clients' homes when you do it outside of your studio with an iPad and then these three printed images. So talk me through your presentation with your iPad. Do they see a slideshow? Or are they just thumbing through a gallery? How does that work?
I want to highlight something you said, Dori, because this is something that sometimes people, their head starts spinning. And maybe even those that might be listening right now might start feeling that angst of like, okay, I'm overwhelmed. The one thing that you said that I really want for people to take home with them is that you set it up the way it's easy for you. You know, a lot of times I hear from photographers, well, my clients want this and nobody's going to buy that. Mm-mm. You need to set up. I've worked with photographers that literally offer. I have one in particular in mind that I rebranded him, and he sells one size. Mm-hmm. He shows up with it already framed in a black, large print, and that's it. That's all he sells. You can buy that, or you can buy all the digitals. Like, literally, that's how he does his. You need to set up your in-person sales for it to work for you, which means that if you need a dedicated space, like, you know, do you need to office share or go to peer space and rent a space for the day, or you go to a coffee shop or you go to their house, whatever it is that's going to make it easy for you, that is what you need to set up for your in-person sales model. Now, I have had a studio for like 10 years, and then during pandemic, I decided to reinvest that money or not be paying rent in a high area of my city and build my own studio, which is the process that we're in now. But honestly, because I had started out without a studio early in my career, I can do an in-person sales reveal via Zoom, in person, in their home, and, you know, anywhere. And I can do it because I kept it very, very simple. Very, very simple. Mm-hmm. And so what you said right there is it's got to work for you. And so for me, I made it as simple as possible so that they're just choosing what they like in the moment, and it's not a pressure sales thing, and they don't feel like they're leaving anything behind. And so that's the key number one. You can do this. Whoever's listening right now, you can do this, and it doesn't have to be complicated.
No, it doesn't have to be complicated. And you think about some processes or strategies that have more complicated things. If you think about really, really high-end retailers, you can charge more when you don't offer as much.
Absolutely.
I live in a more affluent area, and we have two malls. We have one where all the normal stores are, Macy's, you know, The Gap, H&M, all those stores are in there. Then we have another mall that has all the high-end stores. We have Neiman Marcus, Saks Fifth Avenue, and then we have the Louis Vuitton, the Balenciagas, the Cartier, the Burberry, like all of those stores in that particular mall. And I, when the weather's bad, I will go and I'll walk around this mall and I'll kind of see what they're doing. The higher end stores that you go to, the fewer items they actually sell.
Amen.
So I can go to Macy's and it is packed and you have sales racks full of things. Same with Penny's. It's just packed, packed, packed full of stuff. I go across the street and I go into Neiman Marcus and I go to Saks Fifth Avenue. There is so much open floor space, and a showroom rack might have four dresses on it, and it's all very, very curated, but they're charging four times as much for those items as they are across the street. So don't think, especially if you're looking to be a higher priced photographer or a more boutique photographer, that that means you have to be more complicated. If anything, those higher priced stores have made it so it's even more simple and more streamlined and more customer friendly because people don't have to make all these different decisions. And that's something that I don't think people always pay attention to. But I see that in action when I walk through our local malls and I'm always like, yep, look at that. Balenciaga has 3 purses out. Louis Vuitton has 5 purses out. Burberry has 4 shirts out. It's very, very, very specific and curated for their audience. And any photographer can do that for their business.
Absolutely. Restaurants do it all the time. They offer 3 yeah. cocktails and they're all like $20 or whatever.
Right. Yep. Versus you go to the Cheesecake Factory and you get 4 pages of cheesecake and they're all $6.99.
Exactly.
Versus if you go to a really high-end restaurant, you can get a cheesecake. It'll be a quarter of the size, which you get at the Cheesecake Factory, and it'll be 4 times as much.
And a lot of times you don't even get a choice.
Just one kind.
Yeah, you sit down and the chef will feed you what he or she made. That's
right.
It.
Yeah. Right. So you can take those cues from other industries and adopt them into your photography business, especially when it comes to the selling process. You realize that it doesn't have to be so complicated with so much stuff.
Can I let you in on a little secret? Now I know we've just totally interrupted the podcast and we're going to get back to everything in just a minute, but I want to share with you my very favorite option from Enfoto that my clients love, and it's what they call their complete set. And it's a 3-in-1 combination product that includes an album or a dream book or photo book, a box, and a USB. And you don't have to get the USB, but my clients love having everything all together in one place. And I love the presentation that I can wrap it up in a beautiful bag and just hand it to them. And it's everything that they wanted from their portrait session with me. It's practical, it's a contemporary product, and the complete sets please both print lovers and digital lovers because it includes the best of both worlds. You can tailor this product to meet your needs, and it creates a stunning photo set that will absolutely show your work off in the best way possible. Now, here's the secret. Do you want to get a 75% sample? Are you new to Enfoto and you're not too sure exactly where to start? Head over to the show notes page, click on my special link, and you can get a special 75% discount and a discount on further purchases for the next calendar year that is unprecedented in our industry. You don't want to miss out on this. Go check out that discount today.
So I want to ask you just a couple quick questions because we're almost out of time here, but what do you think some of the drawbacks are of not having a studio when it comes to the selling process, when you're going to people's homes or meeting them someplace?
I think sometimes the experience. I had a studio in a really nice part of town that was, you know, surrounded by really beautiful restaurants and little boutique shops. And mm-hmm. so a lot of the families, because I have 2 branches to my business. I have the fine art side and then I also have the commercial side. And the families kind of look forward to getting a babysitter and making it a night out. And they would, you know, plan to come to my studio and they'd get to, it was almost like a treat. And it was like mm-hmm. this little party. It was a little, I love reveals. I don't, mm-hmm. you know, like feel angst about them. I look forward to seeing them and actually getting to just relax and enjoying what we created together. And so mm-hmm. that's the one thing that I do miss is being able to provide that. But I think because of pandemic and everything that we're still kind of, you know, working through, parents mm-hmm. particularly, especially when young children, are actually really just enjoying the convenience of having me yeah. come to them. And so mm-hmm. I think it's just being sensitive to that. And we'll get back to the boutique experience once our studios are built. But I think I'll still offer, like I have clients in Toronto, I have clients that have just all over the place now. And so just mm-hmm. kind of being sensitive to what it is that they need and making it work within my workflow has been something that I've, you know, evolved into as well. And so I don't think there's necessarily anything that I super miss, but I do remember those days when we could do that for a client. And that was kind mm-hmm. of fun as well.
Yeah. I think the only other thing that I can think of is that when you're in your own infrastructure, in your own studio, in your own space, you have complete control of what's going on around you. When you're traveling to other people's homes, then you lose some of that control. Mm-hmm. And that comes back to, again, of why it's important to keep it simple, because you know, they may not hire a babysitter when you come to their home. You exactly. might have kids. You might have the dog, you know, trying to hop up in your lap. all those different things, you do give up a little bit of that environmental control, but that doesn't mean that the experience has to be compromised in any way. It's just some things to be aware of. And then one other question that an objection is that if I don't have a studio, I'm not going to make as much money. So I want you to speak on the fact that that's not necessarily true in my experience. And you can speak to your experiences that in that as well.
It has not affected my bottom line at all. Mm-hmm. And I will say back to the one question that I kind of like, you know, didn't quite answer earlier was that you said, what do you bring with you? I think if you bring very few things and you have prepped a client properly and you have done the work before your reveal session, you can have big sales anywhere. But mm-hmm. It really has to be a good fit and a good qualification. I don't hate to use the word qualification, like people aren't qualified to work with you, but like if you've really done justice to like educate them and walk them through the process so there's no surprises for them, they will mm-hmm. probably already have an idea of what they're comfortable investing, which is kind of how my model is set up, is that people are basically choosing between enjoying their wall art on their walls or holding it. And then that kind of leads them down to, well, if you like to hold it, these are kind of ways that you could hold your keepsakes. So it's kind mm-hmm. of choosing down that route and not feeling like, you know, they're pigeonholed into something. Or and I often get behind the tiers, like, how much for it all? This is how much for it all. So I love that as well. But no, it does not affect your bottom line. I have photographers that I've rebranded that make huge sales even before they go to the reveal. So yeah. Anything is possible. Yeah.
You can pre-sell it. There's so many things you can do. There's so many ways to create something that works for you. And just because you hear something is successful for someone else doesn't mean that that may not be a strategy that you want to use for your business. And that's perfectly, perfectly fine. I think one thing that when I'm coaching with photographers, they come in with a preconceived idea of this is how my business should be set up because I've heard it this way from someone else. And I always blow their minds when I say, well, what if we just didn't do it that way? Mm-hmm. You don't like it that way. Mm-hmm. It's not working for you that way. So let's not do it that way. Let's create something that's unique to you. And that's the joy of being in business and Absolutely. Owning your own business.
And you know? One thing that I do see a lot with kind of the bigger sale models and you know, God bless them. I love hearing the success stories of I made a $10,000 sale, but I think sometimes that can be a deterrent to our fellows because you go online and you forget that you're only seeing people's curated lives on social media. Mm-hmm. And so it can be discouraging to someone that lives in a small town that may, you know, maybe they're just excited that made a $200 sale and that's okay yeah. because it doesn't really matter what other people are selling or those numbers. What it's important is how that fits into your life. Maybe you don't need to make $10,000 a month. Maybe you only need to make $1,000 a month. Mm-hmm. And so don't be swayed by other people's big brags. You know, I call them big brags because yeah. that means nothing to me. I see photographers that say, oh yeah, I pull in, you know, $100,000 this month. And in reality, if you pull back the curtain, don't look at the little man behind the curtain. They're spending 90% of that in overhead. So how much mm-hmm. have they really made? You know what I mean? And so right. when people brag about being busy and making so much money, it means nothing because I don't know the true picture of what's happening. So don't let that discourage you. If you made a sale that's $500 and that's your highest sale that you've ever made, good hallelujah, for you. Praise the Lord, good for you yeah. because mm-hmm. that could equate to $5,000 for someone that lives in New York, for example, and their rent is $10,000. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't compare evenly. And so you have to look at your numbers, what you need to pay your overhead or your babysitter or your gas or whatever it is, what your expenses, your cost of doing business are, and you set up your model the way you need it to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And again, coming back to the idea of the fact it's your business. You can do anything you want. You do not need permission to refine your product line or charge a certain amount or anything. Go to people's homes for your selection appointments or get a studio. There's the beauty about what we do is we have so many options to create what we want to create to make it successful for us. And I love that so much. That's why I do it because I don't like being pigeonholed.
Right. And as long as you can, I love that. And I do feel like as long as you communicate that, because people will say, well, this is how I do business. Tough, but it's also a process of making sure that that's transparent. I don't ever hold back my rates. I don't ever, you know, like I don't send in the menu. I follow my client's lead. And if they're not talking money, then I'm not talking money. If they're asking what it costs and what they're going to invest, I share it transparently. I don't have any problems talking about money. And so I think as long as you communicate and set up, you know, realistic expectations with your client, you can do it any way you want.
Yeah, the communication is key. And surprisingly, I actually just recorded a podcast this morning all about effective communication. So that will probably have been released by the time this is released. So if you haven't listened to that yet, go back and listen to that. Well, I want to be respectful of Miranda's time because we know from personal experience that we could sit here and chat all day, but I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up now. And Miranda, thank you so much for joining us. If you want to know more about Miranda, the services that she provides, check out her social media, all those things that will be linked. All those things for her will be linked on our podcast page, our show notes page at focalpointspodcast.com. Again, a special thank you to Enphoto for sponsoring this podcast. Make sure you check out their specials that they're running right now on all of their studio samples. And we will see you next time on the Focal Points Podcast.
Thank you for listening. This has been Focal Points, an Enphoto podcast hosted by Dori Howell. We hope you've enjoyed the show and we will see you next time.